Do you sometimes feel like life is a treadmill and somehow it doesn't seem to have meaning anymore or purpose? Dr. Robert Duckworth of Dallas Theological Seminary joins us to talk about this important topic tonight on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. And finding meaning and purpose in life is about as important a topic as you can get. Dr. Robert Duckworth is with me in the studio tonight again. Dr. Robert Duckworth is the Director of Counseling Services at Dallas Theological Seminary. He enjoys launching new counselors into the profession, teaches in the School of Counseling, and has a variety of other things in his ministry repertoire. Robert, great to have you back on the show.
It is wonderful to be back. I was so excited to get the call from you about doing this a second time.
It's a joy to have you back, and we will certainly do that again. And I so appreciate your ministry. You've got a lot of things going on. You have many years of clinical experience. You specialize in teaching practicum and internship, and you've taught multicultural courses and courses related to integrating theology and psychology. And tonight, I've labeled this show Purpose in This Life, Preparation from the Next. Does that sound like a good title?
You couldn't have been named better. I should have named my sermon a couple weeks ago that same thing.
Well, you told me about preaching on that. And by the way, tonight, friend, if you are needing some encouragement, you feel stuck in a rut. Life is like being there and you haven't been able to break through. Robert and I would love to talk with you about it. We are welcoming your phone calls at 855-586-5433. That's 855-586-LIFE. Now, Robert, this week before we did this broadcast, you mentioned that you are very excited about sharing something, and I'm excited about hearing the details about it. I think it involved a message in a very unusual place.
Absolutely. So just a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege and the opportunity to really reignite my work with prison ministry.
Okay.
And in going into a prison down in Navasota, Texas, and I was really wrestling with what I was going to preach about. Now, I knew I had tons of sermons that I've prepared before that I could utilize in a prison context or anywhere that would give some hope to these gentlemen, but I just really wanted to hone in on something that would be life-changing for some of these guys. And my assumption, Don, was that I was going to be going to a maximum security prison. I wasn't certain of which unit it was, because we were going to go down, spend the night, go into the dormitories, meet with them, and then do a church service.
Right.
Well, in doing that, I realized when I got there, it was only one or two gates that I went through.
Hmm.
And I was like, this is a minimum security prison.
Not a maximum. So you were not in Huntsville.
No, not in Huntsville. Exactly. Because I'm used to going to the ones there.
Right. Yep.
It was a minimum security prison, so I assume I may meet someone that maybe will never get a chance to go home again. And I was like, what could I say to them that could be life-transforming for them, even in the scenario and the situation that they're in?
And they would definitely feel like they were stuck in a rut, correct?
Exactly, because you're literally there. Yeah. Well, what I did find is when I went to that unit there in Navasota, Texas, this was a unit that was minimum security, I believe it was, or medium or minimum, I'm not really certain, but it was not max.
Right.
And many of the guys that were there were older, and many of them had been there for a long, long time, maybe as long as I'd been around. I don't know, from the conversations that I had with them.
Well, we're going to pick up on that story when we come back from this break. We're going to learn about a life-changing message that God gave our brother, Dr. Robert Duckworth. And our toll-free number, if you'd like to call us, 855-586-5433.
We're over 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, Teach Truth, Love Well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu.
I was so high and I was so drunk that I couldn't walk. I couldn't even stand up. I collapsed in my garage and then I awoke 2 days later in the hospital. I heard about Teen Challenge. I came here and this place has shown me that it truly does care. That's when everything changed.
At Adult and Teen Challenge, we provide hope and healing for a new drug-free future. And you can find the center nearest you at 855-END-ADDICTION or teenchallengeusa.org. Freedom from addiction starts here.
We're back on Encouragement Live. Dr. Robert Duckworth of Dallas Theological Seminary, dts.edu is the place for you to check out where you can get training about how to be biblically grounded. Get that good foundation in the Word so that you can develop your gifts and use those. Robert, you graduated from Dallas Seminary, correct?
I certainly did, back in 2011.
2011, okay. I was going to say 1911, but not no. A chance, brother. You're younger than me, and I'm thankful that you are. Now, you were telling us this story. You were in Navasota, Texas. Mm-hmm. You were in a medium or possibly even a
minimum
security prison, and you were about to preach. And what happened next?
Well, I knew I had this passage that I wanted to speak on that had inspired me about 5 years ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Yep.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I was very familiar with the passage. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But where it talks about just kind of what's going to happen in the afterlife. And I thought that would be very important.
Yeah.
To these guys in prison. And so I told them, the title of my message that day was Your Story Matters to God.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I shared that message in the prison that day. And right before I did that, Don, that particular passage with its theological implications, eschatological implications, I even started to self-doubt right there at the podium getting ready to preach and say,
is this the right thing?
Is this the right? Am I talking over these guys' heads? Yeah. I just don't want to. I could just go to John 3:16, talk about Nicodemus, give my testimony.
Sure.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know. And all of a sudden, one of our guys, one of our volunteers with Mount Hebron Baptist Church went up. And one of the things, I'll kind of fast forward to the whole thing on 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul talks about how we will judge the world, judge angels.
Yeah.
And in that particular passage, I've used that as inspiration to talk about our life and our work in the afterlife and how our world that we live in now is merely a dress rehearsal, Don.
Ooh, wow.
For a grand stage play.
You know, Robert, when you first told me that you wanted to talk about 1 Corinthians 6, I thought it's going to be a very practical thing about don't sue your brother in Christ, because that's what Paul talks about. But he uses that to sort of pull the curtain back on what we're going to be doing for all eternity. Now, to be honest about it, many of us have the idea that we'll spend eternity in heaven, flapping wings that I'm not sure will have, sitting on a cloud, playing a harp, or something similar to that. But this passage really pulls back that curtain, does it not?
It certainly does.
Yeah.
Because that word where he talks about verse 2, Paul says, judging angels.
Yeah.
You will judging the world first, and then he says, judging angels really deals with governing or ruling and having stewardship and responsibility over things that God has charged us with.
Think about that, friend. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you may spend eternity in a management position among the created angelic beings. We'll be back with more right after this. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips featuring faith-based shows for the entire family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to a community and join others on their spiritual journey.
CrossFlix partners with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support American and Israeli veterans and families suffering from trauma.
CrossFlix, educate, entertain, and inspire.
60% of Christians will die with no will. Only 10% have up-to-date estate plans, virtually guaranteeing that probate courts will sort out their affairs. What does being a wise steward of God's resources mean? The Bible has a lot to say on the subject. SAT 7 offers a biblical estate planning seminar or webinar that takes the mystery out of wills, trusts, and estate planning. To learn more, visit sat7usa.org/plan.
The people of the Middle East and North Africa are familiar with hardship and struggle, but SAT 7 gives the hope of God's word to the hurting and broken.
SAT 7's new president, John Cernelia.
Our vision is to see a growing church in the Middle East and North Africa, confident in Christian faith and witness, serving the community, and contributing to the good of society and culture.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. Toni King on her book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. Tonight on Encouragement Live, we're hearing a fascinating story from Dr. Robert Duckworth about an experience preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a passage that we usually think of that deals with don't sue your brother, don't take your brother to law. But Robert, you are telling us that this is a passage where we learn that our story matters to God.
It certainly does. And that was life transforming for me back in 2020, somewhere during the lockdowns or quarantines. And I was working from home. So yeah. My day was done about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
By then, I could see all of my clients, see them online or do paperwork or whatever I had to do. So I'm having an in-depth conversation with my best friend, Randall, who led me to Christ, in fact, and encouraged me to come to Dallas Seminary. And Randall and I got into this discussion about end times content. And we landed on this 1 Corinthians chapter 6 passage. He's because it was something to the fact that Randall said, Robert, don't you realize we're going to judge angels? And I was like, what are you talking about, Randall? And then I started thinking about that passage in 1 Corinthians 6. And I just glossed over it and jumped down to the bottom of 6 where it talks about sexual immorality. I can talk about all that.
Well, sure. Yeah, we're familiar with that. That's a no-no. Yeah, right.
That's the hot stuff. So we're talking about this this subject, and it's when it hit me like a ton of bricks back in 2020, Don, that everything that I do now matters to God. It's mattering later in an eternal state, whatever that case may be. Some say it's widely held that it's possibly the millennial kingdom. I don't know exactly, but I do know that everything that we do now is going to have some impact on what we're doing later. I think that's why Jesus says to us that, you know, if we've been faithful over a few things, God will make us rulers over many. That doesn't mean we're going to be kings and queens and all of that, but I think we'll have some responsibility based on how we've handled what we've done here.
And what a motivation for us to handle things here. And that means if we feel like that we're in a rut, or maybe somebody feels, well, I'm imprisoned in a bad marriage, or I'm imprisoned in a lousy job, or I'm imprisoned with a, you know, just any kind of a situation like that, that there really is no way out of that. But if I look at it in a different way, if I get God's perspective on that, that he is training me so that I may be capable of judging or administering a team of angels at some point in the future, what a difference that makes.
A major difference. And knowing that I'm sort of getting in those reps now to get me prepared and working it out and practicing now for what's later, that encourages me when the job gets tough. When the clients may be difficult to work with, or the clients don't seem to be changing, when the students don't seem to be getting concepts and theories in the class.
You mean Dallas Seminary students sometimes have trouble getting the concepts in the class?
Well, Don, I went to Dallas Seminary. If it didn't happen before 2006 to 2011, it happened then.
I was going to say, it was happening back in the 70s, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we struggle to communicate these truths and do our very best, and yet sometimes it's really tough, and we sometimes at the end of the day say, Lord, is that all there is? Am I really getting anything done? You know, Robert, I was thinking about football teams, the Dallas Cowboys. People around here are big Cowboys fans, and they've just had their OTAs, their practices, and then they will have their summer workouts coming up soon. And all of that is in preparation for when they take the field against the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Commanders, or used to be the Redskins, or one of those teams like that. And if they don't do the work now, they will not succeed then.
And that's what encourages me with a lot of students that I work with. I'm even using that in my therapy, in my career counseling.
Yeah,
using it in the classroom. That the things that you're doing right now in your counselor training.
Yeah.
These things are going to really matter. But again, you don't know who you're counseling now. You could be counseling the next D.L. Moody. You don't know who you're seeing and how that will impact the kingdom, even on this side of things, but even later. And that just keeps me going.
You know, I've thought about the Sunday school teacher in Boston, Massachusetts, who had a man named Dwight L. Moody in his Sunday school class.
That's right.
And he had no idea the profound impact that he would have on the Christian world for Christ, just teaching that group of boys in Sunday school.
Was that Kimball or something? I think that was his name.
Yeah, I think was his name,
Kimball, and that story sticks with me. I never know who I'm counseling. Those kids, when I was working in the juvenile system, you never know who that could be. And I no longer look at, oh, he could be the next congressman. He could be the next NFL player. No. He might be used as a saint one day to judge angels and lead and direct, because we know that those angels are going to be ministered. They already minister to us, and they're going to minister to us, but we may be leading a group of people, a group of individuals one day in a cataclysmic time in our glorified state. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I just know that when I go to Dallas Seminary every day, what I'm doing that day is going to matter in eternity.
And that, friend, is such an important thing. Maybe what you're doing right now, you may not realize how it matters for eternity. Maybe you'd like to talk to Robert and me, and we'd like to pray with you and encourage you in what you're doing. You know, I think of Galatians 6:10. It says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap a harvest if we don't give up. Talk about that verse.
The same author. Yeah. I look for that consistency in there.
His message.
Again, he's speaking. Paul is not speaking to the next 15 or 20 years for his audiences. Paul is talking about the eternal aspects of what we will be doing, the long game. I tell people that all the time. We can read so much into these scriptures. I think that's where our brothers and sisters that get caught up in prosperity say, well, this means you're going to grab this thing and get it now. No, these passages like that in Galatians are speaking to a future time. That's when you may reap a harvest. You may reap a harvest for God in ministry, but that doesn't mean you're going to be financially well off for the next six or seven generations. It might be that you're planting seeds now for something that's going to be so great in eternity and fulfilling God's plan.
So what about it, friend? Are you maybe a little discouraged right now about the way your ministry is going? Maybe it's a Sunday school class you're teaching, maybe a home Bible study, maybe a small group in a larger church, and maybe people have not been as interested as you feel like they should be. Maybe like Dr. Robert Duckworth, you're involved as a Christian counselor, and you're finding your Christian counselees are not following your Christian counsel very well. You're leading them, but they're just not getting it for some reason. Or the people you're teaching are not getting it. We'd love to talk with you, to pray with you, to encourage you. And I suspect that others hearing your question, your comment, might be encouraged as well. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. That's 855-586-LIFE. And by the way, if you'd like to learn more about Dallas Theological Seminary, and Robert, there are a number of courses that Dallas has that are really not, don't cost people anything to take. That's one of the new things that Dr. Mark Yarbrough and others at the seminary put together, these courses that can help equip people. Talk a little bit about what's available there.
And we do have free online courses with dts.edu. Just go on our website and take a look at those. And that's a way in which we're able to give to those who may not ever get the opportunity that you and I had, Don, to go to seminary and really get access to some of this Bible content. There are even some integration counseling courses on there. I think Dr. Gary Barnes has taught one on there. Yeah. And there's a number of those in there that can really give you some insights that can help with your Sunday schools, your discipleship work. And Dallas Seminary has used that as a tool to give back to those that may not have the opportunity to access that education just as we were.
You know, there was not that kind of equipping back in the day when I was a student. Even when you were a student, they were still developing those tools. Mm-hmm. But now with the internet and with the apps and all of those kinds of things, you can access that training, hone your spiritual gift. And, you know, I think about Paul's words at the end of Colossians 4. He was talking to a man named Archippus, and he said, pay attention to your ministry. Take heed to your ministry. And, you know, I think about that, and I think about whatever the ministry a person has. It may be something that you consider very small. Maybe you're about to work in vacation Bible school. This is the season when churches carry that out. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm just helping kids glue something on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But you may be having an impact for eternity. And again, God is using this to equip you so that you will be able to have that amazing impact on angels, angelic beings in the future. Unpack that word judge for us. You know, again, we think about judging, we think about somebody in a black robe, so, you know. But talk about what that is involved.
Well, that term really means to govern or rule, having some level of stewardship and responsibility. I love the practical term you used earlier, Don, managerial responsibilities. And I think that's what God will have us doing. It may be three people. It may be three angels. I don't know. But I know that passage is saying that we have some contributions to make alongside with God, co-leading, co-ruling with him, not equal to God, but he's using us, and he's going to use that. So I think the things that we're doing now, it could be your family of origin can play into that. The career path that you've chosen, the work you've done in church, whether it's working with VBS or you're a senior pastor of some major metropolitan church, God is using all of us. Donna, I look at it like this. If we had to do an illustration, it's almost like God, and this will probably show up in a book I'm working on now.
Okay.
It's almost like God has one of these big blue recycling cans in heaven, and he's throwing everything that we've done in there, but when he recycles it, it's going to come out and give him glory.
Yeah. You know, that picture of recycling is great because often things that would otherwise be disposed of as garbage are dumped in there. And yet when they put that through the process, it turns into something that is extremely useful. And I believe God's wanting to do that in each of our lives. Dr. Robert Duckworth is with me tonight on the program. You can learn more about Dallas Theological Seminary, the free courses, or come to the seminary to train for vocational ministry. Check out dts.edu, and we'll be right back.
There are only two ways your affairs will be settled after you pass away: your way or the government's way. For anyone without a will or trust in place, the government will settle it through probate. So we must all ask ourselves, do I want the government to decide how my minor children get their inheritance and where my assets go, and then charge my heirs probate and court fees to make that happen? Or do I want to protect my family from probate and steward the resources that God has entrusted to me by determining how the assets that I leave behind will be used? Find out what you need to know and do to protect your heirs at a free webinar with His Faithful Stewards. This free webinar will discuss wills and trusts and help you understand it all. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and find the link for webinars. There's a place there under webinars where you can sign up. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com and the link to webinars. HisFaithfulStewards.com.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at RestorationSL.com. That's RestorationSL.com.
Saji Lucas grew up in South India without Christ, but when he trusted the Savior, his Hindu family disowned him. His witness brought his entire family to Christ and led to the founding of Mission India, which trains hundreds of village missionaries each year. For a free copy of Saji's biography, Transformed for a Purpose, and to learn more about Reaching Indians Ministries International, visit remi.org. That's remi.org.
I was so high and I was so drunk that I couldn't walk. I couldn't even stand up. I collapsed in my garage, and then I awoke 2 days later in the hospital. I heard about Teen Challenge. I came here, and this place has shown me that it truly does care. That's when everything changed.
At Adult and Teen Challenge, we provide hope and healing for a new drug-free future. And you can find the center nearest you at 855-END-ADDICTION or teenchallengeusa.org. Freedom from addiction starts here.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Dr. Robert Duckworth is with me tonight telling about a remarkable observation from 1 Corinthians 6, a passage, Robert, that I've preached on before and you probably preached on about don't take your brother to law. In fact, if I were to summarize 1 Corinthians 6, it would be don't sue your brother, and then the last part of the passage, don't have sex with your sister.
You're too much. Exactly.
And in between, he says, we will judge angels. And is that part of why you came to Dallas Theological Seminary to help be involved in training men and women there?
That's the very reason I came, Don. When the opportunity to come to Dallas Seminary to be the director of counseling services, I was reluctant, not because of Dallas Seminary, but because of the fact that I was just enjoying what I was doing in the probation system as a clinical director. And I had seen that as a part of this 1 Corinthians responsibility, that what I'm doing now with juveniles, juvenile offenders, and assisting them and their families, putting things back together, putting them on the right track, helping them to avoid the very prisons that I go into in prison ministry. I'm fulfilling purpose. And then the Holy Spirit hit me with this, that now you'll have the opportunity to offer encouragement, offer solace, peace, through the work of counseling and teaching other counselors, and now you're going to multiply this work and going out into the world. So you will still be fulfilling your purpose as per 1 Corinthians 6. It's just in a different capacity.
How great is the need, Robert, for biblically trained, the kind of training you do at Dallas Seminary, biblically trained Christian counselors? How big is that need today?
The need is great. One of my buddies that's on our licensing board has said, we cannot graduate counselors. He told one of our classes that. I brought him into one of our addictions courses. He said, we cannot graduate you all fast enough based on the mental health needs that are out there.
Yeah.
And we know that, and Dallas Seminary is producing probably more counseling counselors out there than anyone. We are well represented in the licensed professional counselor realm out there and working, and we need more that have that biblical foundation, that theological insight to go out there and meet the public. That doesn't mean we're doing small group in therapy,
<Right. laughs>
but to have that foundation.
Yeah.
The need is so great, and God continues to open up the doors for our program to grow, for our THMers that are taking the courses.
Yeah.
And when they're taking those courses, they're finding ways to incorporate pastoral counseling into their work.
Yeah.
So there is no shortage of need. I think it's right in line with the harvest is plenteous. The laborers doing biblical and theological counseling are few.
Yeah, and Jesus underscored that in Matthew 9 and said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. And then in the next chapter, he said, okay, you guys go.
Go.
We may be talking to someone tonight. You have questions about the kind of training available for pastoral work, for Christian counseling work, for any of those areas at Dallas Theological Seminary. Dr. Robert Duckworth is your person to answer those questions, and it won't cost you anything but a quarter if you're at a payphone or 50 cents, whatever a payphone is. And if you're on a cell phone, you probably have enough minutes. You could call right in, 855-586-5433 is the toll-free number. And Robert, you alluded to something while ago that I'd like to pick up on. You suggested you were writing a book on this subject. Want to hear about the book?
So a few weeks ago, as I was preparing for the message to preach, I think my wife and I, we were flying back from the Bay Area in our youngest, and we were coming back, and I said, you know what? This whole 1 Corinthians 6 thing keeps coming up. I think I'm going to preach it next weekend when I go to the prison.
Yeah.
I need to write a book about this. Mm-hmm. And I just went home. This is we're talking about 2 weeks ago, Don.
Okay.
I went home and I sat down. I made up a plan and I said, you know what? I'll just sit down when I get to work tomorrow and I'm going to write out a few chapters. What will be some potential chapters?
Yeah, put the outline together.
The outline together. And I started putting it together. I'm trying to find a way in which I can, and I haven't fleshed this thing out completely, but my major theoretical orientation that I lean into as a counselor is narrative theory, therapy.
Right.
And that talks about your themes, the patterns in your life, how everything in your life matters to maybe some of the things that you're experiencing now, or how you'll be able to overcome those.
Yeah.
And to integrate that with scripture, which is all about story, God's redemptive story through the person of Jesus Christ, I'm finding ways to try to incorporate that in and talk about the different aspects of my life and where I've worked in ministry. Even some of the content I've talked about here tonight will probably go into that book. So I'm still fleshing it out.
Yep.
This is new for me. I haven't written a book before, but now I'm on the hook because I said it on the radio.
Well, you know, one of the things that I love to do is to encourage people who could write a book. I've encouraged my wife. She's had 4 books published. By the way, she's a DTS grad as well. We're having her book, Shiloh. We just got her very first book. We got 25 copies shipped to us today. and they're shipping the rest of the first batch off the press next week. And she has three books of Old Testament fiction that she's written. The Heart of Zion series is the name of the series, and Moody Publishing has those now in their online series. So the bottom line is, you know, this is an area where you touch people and leave a legacy when you write a book. Have you come up with a working title yet?
I have not. I'm trying to do it like I do my sermons. I write the sermon.
Then do the title last.
The title, because I don't want anything to drive
Seems
me.
Like Haddon Robinson and some of those guys, John Reed, they influenced us. Do the message first, then do the title. But I think this is going to be a great book. You know, a couple of thoughts came to my mind. One of them is how this ties in with spiritual gifts, with gifting. Mm-hmm. Maybe talk a little bit about how to find, how to develop your gift, because just discovering your gift is not enough. Developing your gift seems to me to be part of how God's preparing us for the age to come.
Yeah, and that's one of the key areas when I talk about this with my students, when they're trying to plan, well, you know, why am I in this profession? Why am I doing this, what I'm doing? And spiritual giftedness falls right in there. There's tons of spiritual giftedness assessments that you can do.
Yeah,
and again, you need to go beyond that. You need to put yourself in a position where you can start exercising those gifts. And that's one of the things I did. I knew that there was a gift in me to teach.
Yeah.
So I took every opportunity to teach, whether it was vacation Bible school, let me do the end of the lesson, whether it was a Sunday school that no one wanted to take.
Yeah.
You find and manufacture those opportunities to do that. When I was an early counselor, we went out there and grabbed whatever venues we could go to that would, do you have people, do you have warm bodies that need to talk to someone? Take the opportunities that are put before you, no matter how small they look. A small opportunity led to my job in the probation system.
I cut my teeth teaching junior boys in a Sunday school class that met in the basement of a house in Birmingham, Alabama.
It's take those opportunities. And so many people snub their nose at those opportunities.
Yeah.
Find those. You never know what can come out of that. And just in using that giftedness. And I think knowing that spiritual gift, you can end up doing with that spiritual gift what the wicked slave did, the wicked servant did. He buried it. Don't bury the talent.
No.
Take that thing.
Let it multiply.
Let it multiply.
Yes,
and that's what I have just devoted myself to since really, I would say, discovering this passage. Because, Don, I glossed over this. I don't remember this from Acts and the Pauline epistle.
No. But, boy, it's a great insight. Well, let's go to the phones. Dennis is listening in Missouri tonight. Hello, Dennis. Thanks for calling.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Just fine. Good to hear from you. Go ahead.
Well, this may take a few minutes. I'm on parole. I was in prison. I got sent to prison, and I had a long sentence, but the Lord opened the door, and I got out 10 years early.
Amen.
Amen, Dennis.
And I know it was the Lord doing it because my pastor, well, what was my pastor, told the, one of the guys who used to call me, or I used to go and talk with him, he said, tell Dennis he won't do all of his time, which I didn't. Well, now that I've been out about 3 years, I live alone, I'm in my 70s, I'm legally blind, but the problem, the difficulty for me is I can't go to church because I'm not allowed to, but I'm just trying to figure out what to do with my life at this point in time. I can't drive, I can't go to church, I do read my Bible and I pray, but I don't know what to do with myself.
Really. Well, Dennis, I am so glad you called. You're exactly the person we wanted to talk with tonight. And again, having spent some time behind bars, you know exactly the kind of situation. And we have about a minute and a half before the break, Robert. But, one thing occurs to me is a prayer warrior. I think about the opportunity to just carry that on. What are your thoughts, Robert, in terms of what Dennis could do?
Dennis, we don't know who's going to listen to this broadcast, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing your testimony. Your very testimony tonight may be a seed that's planted for some young man, some young woman that is incarcerated right now that does not see their purpose. Just you saying that, your desire to want to be in fellowship and be in the assembly can encourage someone. And so our prayer for you is that you will just continue to read the scriptures, listen for what God would have you to do. And it may be like a prayer warrior or something where you're able to do some things over a phone call to encourage some young man that is headed down the wrong road.
Yes.
And you can prevent that. And that young man may be the next whomever to do great things for God. And God is going to let you know, Dennis, that your story matters to him.
And that's true. And who knows what God may have for you in eternity. Dennis, I want you to stay on the line. We're going to take a break, then we're going to come back, and Robert's going to lead us in prayer for you that God will let you know exactly what you need to be doing. Our number is 855-586-5433. We'll be back.
Do you have an extra car taking up valuable space in your driveway? Let Encouragement Live take it off your hands. It's easy, free, and best of all, tax deductible. Get your driveway back and keep Encouragement Live rolling so more people can bridge the gap between their faith and everyday life. Mention Encouragement Live when you call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-RIDE or encouragementlive.org.
What do Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer have in common? They all trained to preach God's Word at Dallas Theological Seminary, and you can train at DTS too. If you've been called to preach or teach God's Word, find a degree or course that's right for you on one of our campuses or online at dts.edu. Dallas Theological Seminary, where they teach truth and love well. Visit dts.edu.
The older people grow, the more important it is that they have savings that are not at risk in the stock market.
Here's an important warning from Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I've seen many people in their 50s that have all their savings still in a 401k or some other market-based account that is fully at risk of loss.
Roxanne and her team offer practical financial counsel to people from all age groups.
It could be that they need to start saving for the future in retirement, or maybe they've already done those things and they just need to be good managers of what God's given them and get their money to where it can grow well but won't be at risk of loss in the stock market. Or maybe they need to get a will or a trust in place to protect their family from the cost and stresses of probate.
You can schedule a free and confidential time to talk with Roxanne at her website, HisFaithfulStewards.com. Just follow the links on the website to set a good time to talk, or you may call the office to set a time. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com. And momentarily, we'll go back to our caller, Dennis, who has phoned in from Missouri. And my guest, Dr. Robert Duckworth, is going to pray for him. But our program is live, and I've just been handed a note that President Trump announced Saturday evening that U.S. military forces have dropped 3 bombs on 3 Iranian nuclear facilities, ending a week-long deliberation period over joining Israel's campaign against Tehran and thrusting the United States into the escalating Middle East conflict. These are the words of President Trump. We have completed our very successful attack on the 3 nuclear sites in Iran, including Fordo, Natanz, and Esfahan. All the planes are now outside the Iranian airspace. This was the word from President Trump on Truth Social. And I would say that in light of this, Robert, we need to certainly be praying for our country tonight, as well as for the Israelis and for Christians living in the country of Iran. And next weekend, I will have the man who heads up the ministry of Sat7, who is John Cernelia, has just taken over that ministry. And we'll be talking about the Christian community in Iran. So there are believers there that will be affected by this as well.
And we need to really be in prayer, general.
Right. Yes. Well, we want to, first of all, pray for Dennis. Dennis, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'd like to say something if you don't mind.
Yes, go ahead.
8 years ago, I rededicated my life to the Lord. I believed I was headed to prison, but I got down where I went to church at the altar one night when nobody was around and rededicated my life to the Lord. And when I went to prison, I got a Bible, and I read that Bible every day, and I'm still reading it every day. And I made a commitment to the Lord to say, Lord, I want to go out better than when I started this walk.
Amen.
And I do want to be a better example. It's just I live alone. I don't get visitors, and I'm legally blind. I can't drive, so I'm kind of thing. But I said, Lord, I want to do something to win souls to the kingdom. So thank you for your program.
Well, sharing your testimony tonight, Dennis, you do not know who you may be talking to that needs to trust Christ. And if some of you listening to Dennis, hearing his testimony, you have a question about what it means to be a believer, a Christian, trusting in Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to call us. Our number is 855-586-5433. Robert Duckworth, would you lead us in prayer for Dennis? And let's ask God to open a door for him in some way to be able to have a ministry there, including the ministry of intercessory prayer, and especially praying for this ministry as well.
Dennis, and before I go into prayer, I just want to say this, that you have blessed Don and I tonight.
Amen.
This is exactly what we wanted to occur, is that we reach someone. And so we're going to pray for you. I don't have the answers as to how God is going to use you, but I know the God that does have the answers.
And so, he finds amazing ways to use us when we think he won't, yeah.
And don't discredit the fact that your call tonight may already be him using you. Yeah. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we just thank you for being the great I am. We thank you for being so sovereign, Lord, just being wonderful to us. And Lord, we just come right now interceding for our brother Dennis. Lord, he has had a difficult way to go, Lord, being incarcerated, losing his sight. But Lord, you can still use Dennis. Lord, I don't have the answers, but I know that the Holy Spirit, you will pray on our behalf, pray on Dennis's behalf for a way in which he can be used in the name of Jesus, if not already on this call this evening. So Lord, just touch Dennis, give him what he needs, grow him, help him to know that everything in his story matters to you, and that somehow, Lord, intercessory prayer, we don't even want to name what it is, because Lord, you know better than we do.
Amen.
As to what Dennis can do, and use him tremendously. We'd love to hear from him later if he writes in or talks to us later and lets us know what has happened. But Lord, we trust and believe that you can use our friend Dennis tonight.
Yes.
Because he has something to offer to the kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dennis, we will be praying. I'm so thankful that you were able to dial in tonight. You keep listening and keep praying for those that call in on this program, okay? God bless you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Amen. Bye-bye. 855-586-5433. Before we go to our next caller, Robert, I think we should take just a moment and pray both for our country, our president, the people involved in this situation that we've just heard about, the airstrike to take out those three major nuclear facilities, and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Would you lead us in prayer for those things?
Yes. Gracious Father, we also come right now and just, again, you're the same sovereign, wonderful, loving God that we just came to a moment ago to pray for our dear brother Dennis. And Lord, we come now praying for more of a global concern. There's so many things going on in our world today, so much uncertainty, so many challenges, so much conflict, so much division. And Lord, I pray in the absolute name of Jesus, Lord, over this situation in the Middle East. Lord, so many things are going on, decisions that have to be made. There are still going to be subsequent decisions that have to be made. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our citizens who have family members that are in here. There's so many family members. So many people are touched by this through military, folks that are doing missions work in these countries. Lord, the Christians that are being persecuted in different countries all over.
Yes.
And Lord, we just know that there is, just as we multiply in our work for you, the enemy is trying to multiply work throughout the globe. And so, Lord, we pray against those things, and we ask in the name of Jesus for your sovereign will to be done, and that lives will be changed, and that even the events of today will turn hearts to the person and the work of Jesus Christ, Lord.
Amen.
We want to see that change for you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
855-586-5433. And if you just joined us, the word is that President Trump has ordered a strike and taken out three nuclear sites, the major nuclear sites in Iran, and that the planes have all cleared Iranian airspace. Let's go back to the phones. Cornelius is on the line. Cornelius from Louisiana. And I believe you have a military background, as I recall, my brother.
Hey there, Don and Doc. I was a military police officer. I trained at Fort McClellan, Alabama.
Anniston, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you one quick story, and boy, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and America and Mr. Dennis there. Boy, that is a great story.
Yes.
But I was in when Reagan was just turning in, and he said if they didn't release them hostages, we were going to war. Boy, I was so scared. I was a military police officer assigned to Louisiana. I wasn't a regular, but they said everybody was going to regulars, the reserves, the National Guard. We were all going to war to Iran. That was in the 79 and 80. So I'm 64 years old now, so that tells you the time frame. But it's been a long time in coming. But anyway, gentlemen.
How are you? Go ahead.
I used to be a prison guard, too, and I've been an inmate, too. But it was the Bible that kept me going when I was a prison guard, and then when I was a prisoner, too, for almost a year. And I tell you, it's something about reading the Bible and getting a perspective on that. And I'm so glad Dennis reads the Bible. I hope and pray he can get somebody to get him to church, get him some fellowship somewhere around there in Missouri. But a lot of times, Don and Doc, we forget about our inmates and stuff, and we need to give them a second chance. And I'm so glad for this program. Like I said, I hope some inmates are listening. I hope they're reading their Bible. I read Psalm 91, Matthew 6, the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And then I also read, today's the 21st, I read the Proverbs.
Proverb a day.
So that's the three things I start my day out with. And, you know, Don, you said you've been wanting to write a book about them 365, fear not. We can use that right now, Don.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Cornelius, my good friend Don Sapol, who's on the board of my ministry, is actually working on that book as we speak. I talked to him last week, and he told me he is already pulling that book together. He's dealing with all those passages on fear not and that deal with fear in Scripture. And remember, that was the very first emotion back in the Garden of Eden. Robert, I know you remember this. When God said to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" They had been taking the forbidden fruit. Adam said, "We hid because we were afraid.
Right.
We were not clothed." And so there was that first negative emotion. Cornelius, I want to pray for you, and God will encourage you. And we also want to pray for Sophie, who called in, works with disabled people, and thank the Lord for that. Heavenly Father, thank you for these individuals, for Cornelius, who called us tonight, who also wanted to share his encouragement with Dennis, who called in from Missouri, and who has served our country as well. Thank you for that service. Lord, I do pray, as Robert has prayed earlier, for our president, for the premier in Israel, and I pray for especially for Christians in all of those countries, including in Iran. Lord, for your hand of protection, I pray that somehow out of all of this, the gospel might have free course and that your name would be glorified. Lord, bless Cornelius, strengthen, encourage yes, him, Lord. And be with Sophie, Lord. Thank you for her work with disabled people. May she be greatly blessed, I pray. Thank you and praise you for the fact that you love us and encourage us, and you're preparing us in this life so that we might fulfill that greater responsibility in the life to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Cornelius. God bless you. God bless America. And Robert, it's been a joy to have you on the broadcast tonight.
It's been a joy to be here.
We will have you back and talk more about this. This is a great topic. Once again, if you want to learn more about Dallas Theological Seminary, let me encourage you, check out their website, dts.edu. Maybe God's calling you to be a pastor, a missionary, a Christian counselor. Robert's underscored that need. Go to that website, dts.edu. And thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate this so much. We encourage you to pray for our country, for our president, our military people, people in Israel, people in Iran as well. And for all of us at Encouragement Live, I'm Don Hawkins. Good night from Encouragement Live.